singing, some powerful praying, fantastic fellowship, and you're back tonight, and for that we are grateful. I've enjoyed this day. We were able to spend some time with Joe and his family over lunch, and Stephen, great decision, the greatest decision of your life. When you were baptized this afternoon, three wonderful things happened. Number one, your sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus. Number two, you were added to the family of God. We call the family of God the church. And number three, you were given the gift of God's Spirit. So great decision. So proud of you. I appreciate the prayers that have been prayed in this service for this preacher. Our younger brother prayed a few minutes ago. The guy with the red shirt on, he prayed for me. And then we again prayed for me. And I appreciate that. I need people praying for me. Now, there's something that's been a challenge for me today, and that's this little fan up here. Y'all know you have a fan on this pulpit. And about two or three times today, I felt like I've cut off some fingers today because I've gotten into the fan. So we're going to have to work around the fan tonight, but grateful that you're here. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 15. Everybody take a Bible and go with me, please, to Matthew, Mark, Luke. There's the book. And tonight we go to Luke chapter 15. This morning we studied from the Gospel of Matthew and tonight from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 15, Jesus speaks about a lost sheep, some lost silver, and a lost son. In Luke 15, verses 1 through 7, he speaks about a lost sheep, verses 8, 9, and 10, some lost silver, and then in verses 11 through the remainder of the chapter, a lost son. Can you remember three S's that you had like this? Sure you can. Well, if you can remember three S's, sheep, silver, son, you have Luke chapter 15 in your heart. You know what this chapter is all about. I wish that I had the time to talk to you about the sheep and the silver. I don't for time's sake, only the son. We sang about it a few minutes ago. God is calling the prodigal. It's a great story. Listen to it carefully. Luke 15, let's start in verse 11. Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. Now, my father died about 4.5 years ago. If your father is still living, let me just plant this seed. Go out of your way to say, Dad, I love you. I wish that my father were still living so that I could say, Dad, I love you. I miss him every day. An elder of the church. Well, my father had two sons. I have an older brother by the name of Steve, and Steve is also a preacher, and I'm the youngest of the two boys. So I can identify, I can see myself in the story. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous, not righteous, but riotous, wild, extravagant, sinful living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine of that land. He began to be in want, and he went and he joined himself to a citizen, a person of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine or pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine, the pigs did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight I am not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, O Father, I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatty calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be happy, Mary. And that's Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Brothers and sisters, what do we usually call this story? We call it the story of the prodigal son. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go back to Luke 15 and find the verse in which Jesus refers to him as the PK, the prodigal kid. When you find it, raise your hand. Look over Luke 15, verses 11 through 24 and find the verse. We're looking for the verse in which Jesus refers to him as the prodigal son. Anybody found it? It's not in there, is it? You can read and read and read and study and study and study all night long, but it's not in there. Nowhere does Jesus say, hey, I want to tell you the story of the prodigal son. And yet that's the way that we know it. I mean, Luke 15 is mentioned in a sermon, in a Bible class. We say, Luke 15. Oh, yeah, that's the story of the prodigal son. We call him a prodigal son, a sinful son, a rebellious son. I have a son. There he is. His name is Pete. I say, Pete, don't embarrass Daddy. Don't turn out to be like this kid. He's not a good kid. He's a bad kid. But you know something? I can see some good in him. I say, I can see some good in this old boy of Luke 15. I say, I can see some good in him. And let me share at least two good things that I see. In the first place, he did not blame others. Number one, he did not blame others that he ended up in that pig pen. Sometimes we want to do that, don't we? We want to point fingers and blame others for our own mistakes. That's what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. You remember the story? The book of Genesis, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of a certain tree. If they did, they would surely die. The devil or Satan came along and said, now wait a minute. God said you'll die. You'll not die. He added one word, just one, to the word of God. God said you'll die. Oh, you'll not die. God knows that if you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open. You'll be as wise as he is. And they listened to the devil, and because they did, God wanted to know why. God went to Adam. God said, Adam, my son, why did you do it? What did Adam say? Who, me? It's not my fault. It's the woman's fault. It usually is, isn't it, guys? The woman's fault. That's what we men think. We blame the woman. And you know, God's not prejudiced, so God goes over to the woman. God says, my daughter Eve, why did you do it? Why did you sin? What did Eve say? Who, me? It's not my fault. It's the devil's fault. The devil made me do it. Have you guys ever seen that t-shirt? The t-shirt that says, the devil made me do it? Well, that's not a new t-shirt in any sense of the imagination. It's as old as the Garden of Eden. That's what Eve said in the garden. The devil made me do it. But see, that's one of the good things that I appreciate about the old boy of Luke 15. When he came home, he did not come home wearing that t-shirt. He didn't come home saying, oh, you know why I ran away? The devil made me do it. He didn't even come home blaming his mama or his daddy or his older brother. He did not come home saying, mom and dad, you know why I ran away? Let me tell you why. It's Joe's fault. Get on to my older brother Joe. No, sir. He came home saying, who blew it? Who's to blame? Me, myself, and I. So number one, he did not point fingers. He did not blame others for his own mistakes, for his own failures. And that's something good that I see in him. Let me share another good thing that I see. In the second place, he did not beg. Number one, he did not blame others. Number two, he did not beg. He said, you know, I've got two good hands. I've got a good mind, a good body, a healthy body, and I'm able to go to work. Do you remember the kind of work he did in that far country? What did he do in that far country? He ended up, I know you can call it husking the swine if you want to, right? Hey, sir, what do you do for a living? I'm a swine husker. That's better than saying, sir, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a hog slopper. I don't know what you call it in Florence. Up in Hendersonville, Tennessee, we call it slopping the hogs. And you know, there are a lot of things that that I'd rather do than slop the hogs. I mean, preaching is a little bit easier than slopping the hogs. Mowing grass with a $99 Walmart special, a little bit easier than slopping the hogs. Babysitting, ladies, Babysitting is easier than slopping the hogs. Frying hamburgers down here at McDonald's, a little bit easier than slopping. See, there are a lot of things that I'd rather do than slop the hogs. But that's one of the good things that I appreciate about the kid of Luke 15. He wasn't too good to slop the hogs. He wasn't too good to get a little stains on his hands, a little dirt under his fingernails, a little sweat on his face. He did not stand back and say, "Hey, where do I sign up? Excuse me, sir, what are you going to give to me?" You see, the Bible still says, let me start it and you finish it, okay? I'll start and you finish.
Okay.
The Bible still says, if a man does not work, neither should he
eat.
Yeah, we all know about that eating verse, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. I believe that the kid of Luke 15 understood that, so he wasn't too good to go to work. Now, the point is this. He's a bad son. He's a sinful son. We call him PK, prodigal kid. But I still see some good in him. And brethren, oh brethren, isn't that what we ought to be able to see in the lives of one another? The good instead of the bad? Isn't that what we ought to be able to see in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Jesus? The positive instead of the negative. Anybody want to say amen? Well, with the exception of Pete, that was weak, okay? You know why some of us don't say amen? Let's just be honest. That's what we look for, isn't it? I mean, we look for what's wrong. We look for the dirt. We look for the negative. Some time ago, Sandra, my wife, and I were washing windows. She was washing away on the inside, and I was on the ladder. I was washing on the outside. And every few minutes, we would do this. We weren't talking. We were just, you know what we were saying? You know, don't you? You missed a spot. And it's so easy to see the spots, the dirt, on other people's windows. I went somewhere to preach some time ago, and I preached one of my best sermons, marched back to the back, started shaking the folks out like I normally do. That was a guy that walked out. He said, that sermon you preached, I'll give you a D minus. You ever made a D minus? Let's just be honest, okay? Well, it had been a while since I'd made a D. And I heard about a little boy that made a D minus. In fact, he made four F's and one D minus. Can you imagine that, parents? The kid, four F's and one D minus. His daddy looked at the report card and said, "Son, what in the world have you been doing?" And the kid said, "Well, Dad, I guess I've been spending too much time on that one subject." It'd been a while since I'd made a D minus, but the guy was serious. He walked out and said, that sermon, I'll give you a D minus. And you know, that's often what we look for. We look for the D minuses instead of the A pluses. We look to pick and gripe and stomp, and we get on the phone and we gossip and gossip. And let me tell you something, folks. If you look for the bad long enough, you're going to be able to find it. You know that? Regardless of how sweet a person he is, how innocent, how pure, he makes mistakes. He has warts. He has wrinkles. And there's bad in elders. And there's bad in deacons. And there's bad in preachers. And I tell you, there's even bad in the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. You know that? But see, I don't want you to see the bad. I want you to see the good. Hey, folks, if you look for the bad in me, it's not going to take you long to find it. But I don't want you to find the bad. I want you to see the good. And husbands, see the good in your wife. Ladies, do this, okay? Give him an elbow. Tell him to say amen. Whisper in his ear, say amen or sleep on the couch.
Amen.
Yeah. Joe doesn't want to sleep on the couch. Husbands, we do need to see the good in our wives. And wives, ladies, you need to see the good in your husband. And parents, see the good in these kiddos. And young people, see the good in mom and dad. And I promise it'll be a great blessing to your life. It's biblical. You say, "Keith, this is a church. I've got my Bible. Give me some Bible. You want some Bible? Let me give you some Bible." Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul said, "Whatever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Think all these things. What things? The good things, not the bad things. You want to grow this church. Let me tell you how to grow the church, the local church. Just go out into the community and brag on the good things that are going on at Florence Boulevard. Just brag on your elders and brag on the deacons and brag on the ministers here. Just go out into the highways and hedges and just lift up the church. Brag on the local church, and I promise it'll be a great blessing to your life. I know he's a bad son. He's a sinful son, prodigal, but I still see some good in him. Number one, he did not blame others. Number two, he did not beg. You say, well, Keith, why do we call him a prodigal son? Well, I believe that Jesus tells us right here in Luke 15. Let me show you what I see here. In the first place, I see this. He was selfish, selfish. I want you to go back and let me show you how selfish he is. Verse 11, we'll just verse by verse it, okay? Verse 11, a certain man had two boys. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He goes to his daddy like this. Hey, Papa. Hey, Daddy, take care of me. Don't forget about me. Hey, Daddy, give me what's coming to me. You know his basic problem? His basic problem, he was selfish. We all struggle with it, don't we? This thing called selfishness. If you don't believe me, let me illustrate like this. I have a camera in my hand, a camera, and I get over on this side of the room and I snap your picture. And you look for the picture. You look at the picture, okay? Who's the very first person you look for in the picture? Person sitting beside you? In front of you? Behind you? Oh, no, oh, no. Where am I? Where am I? Let me see. Oh, there I am. And if you look good, oh, this is a good picture, right? And if you look bad, man, what's wrong with your camera? Where'd you buy that thing? See, we all struggle with this thing called selfishness. Have you ever noticed how selfish little babies are? Now, if you have a baby, I want you to know that baby is cute. But he's rude. I mean, have you ever met a polite baby? Have you ever met a baby that said, you go first, goo goo? We have our little grandson with us, Elias. He's been taken out. I'm looking for him. Elias. That's the little fella's name. Here it is, 2 o'clock in the morning, and Elias wakes up and he's wet, he's hungry. So you know what he does, don't you? Yeah, Pete knows. You think he looks at his watch and says, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and Nana's asleep and Pooh's in bed? Oh, no. Oh, no. What does he do, Pete? Yeah. And we're all like little Elias. We go through life saying, let me tell you what I want. Let me tell you what I need. Why, if the elders don't make the decisions that I want the elders to make, or if the preacher doesn't preach what I want him to preach, or if the youth minister doesn't do what I tell you what, I'll just change. I'll just change her. I'll move my membership. And we all struggle with this thing called selfishness. I think about what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This know also in the last days. You realize we're living in the last days? You say, Keith, how do you know that? The Bible tells me so. This know also in the last days, troublesome, perilous times will come. What are you talking about? Men will be lovers of their own selves. Now, he goes on to say, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But ladies and gentlemen, did you notice the very first sin on the list? The very first sin on the list. Men will be lovers of their own selves. You know why there are so many divorces in America? Divorces, selfishness. You know why there's so much adultery in America? Selfishness. You know why there's so much addictions in our country? Drug addiction, alcohol addiction, addictions to pornography. I want to please me. Give me what's coming to me. We all struggle with this thing called selfishness. So that's what I see in the kid of Luke 15. He goes to his daddy like, hey, Papa, take care of me. Give me what's coming to me. I see something else here. Let me share it with you. In the second place, I see this word. I see the word sin. sin. Go down to Luke 15 and verse 13. Verse 13 of chapter 15. He divides, the father divides the living. And not many days after, notice what the kid does. The younger boy gathered all together, took his journey to a far country. He runs away from home. You ever wanted to run away from home?
Yes! I bet you!
Pete has wanted to run away. Sometimes we think, you know, go ahead, Pete, go ahead. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to run away from home. You ever wanted to run away? I remember I wanted to run away from home. I made my mama mad. We were fussing over something. I got mad at my mama got mad at me, and then my daddy got involved. And I'm not proud of this. Kids, don't you ever do this, okay? Don't you ever do this, boys. But I mean, I was just maybe, I don't know, 9, 10, 11 years old. I got so mad at my daddy. I'm not proud of it, but I got so mad at my daddy, I got out my BB gun. I was going to shoot my daddy. You know what my daddy did? He got out his BB gun. But my daddy's BB gun did not look like my BB gun. My daddy's BB gun looked something like this. This was his BB belt gun. And unlike his son, unlike me, he didn't just threaten to shoot it. He shot it over and over and over. I was afraid he'd never run out of BBs. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're sitting there thinking, oh, Keith, we don't believe in that in our home. Spanking, oh, no. We're more sophisticated than that. And you're what's wrong with North America. See, my parents really believed that the best way to make a kid mind was to approach him from behind. And they would often do that. I'm not talking about child abuse, folks, but I'm talking about a good old-fashioned spanking. You don't believe in spanking? Read the book of Proverbs. It's in there. God knew what he was talking about. And I don't know, maybe that's what the kid of Luke 15, maybe he needed a kick in the seat. But he knew he could not stay at home and live like he was going to live. He was going to break his mom and dad's heart. So he says, hey, I'm out of here. See you later. I'm running away. And he runs away from home. And in that far country, notice what he does. He spends everything on what? Wild, extravagant, riotous living. You say, Keith, what did he do in that far country? Did he gamble? Maybe. Did he get drunk? Was he high? Perhaps. Did he sleep around? Maybe. But in that far country, he's sinning. Let me tell you, I want to be very, very serious with you, okay? Folks, that's what sin will do. Are you listening? Sin will drive you into a far country. Sin will separate you from your family, from your church, from your God. In fact, Isaiah put it like this in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Your sin, your iniquity has separated between you and God. We call him a prodigal son, a sinful son. Why? Number one, there's selfishness. Hey, take care of me. Give me what's coming to me. And then number two, selfishness led to sin missing the mark. But I see something else here, and let me share it with you. In the third place, I see this word, the word starved. Starved. Let me show you how starved he is. Go down to Luke 15 and verse 14. When he has spent all of his money, he's out of money, there comes up a famine, a mighty famine in that land. He's in want. He's in need. Verse 15. So he goes and he joins himself to a person of that country. And this guy sends him into his fields to feed pigs. And notice how starved he is. Verse 16. He would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the pigs did eat. And do you see how starved he is? Folks, he's so hungry, he's so starved, he could eat pig food. So starved he could eat the slop. By the way, I'm just curious, okay? I like to know my audiences. How many of you have ever slopped the hogs? Anybody ever slopped the hogs? You are kidding me. Don, you slopped the hogs? Once, huh? Hey, I grew up in the country. We had a dog, we had a cat, we had a horse. I didn't have any pigs. To be honest with you, I've never slopped the hogs in my life. But I have a good imagination. I imagine I'd have to be awfully hungry to eat slop. Tomorrow night, we're having a dinner here at the church, right? 5:45, is that right? 5:45 dinner. Hey, invite a guest to come and eat dinner. Just invite somebody to come eat dinner with you tomorrow night here at the church building. Can you imagine the announcement? Old Joe gets up and says, hey, we want everybody to come tomorrow night at 5:45 for the slop fellowship. Slop! Fellowship, slop. You know what I believe Jesus wants us to see here in Luke 15? Let me show you what I think the Lord wants us to see. If we start with this, this will lead to this, and this will lead to this. Is that right or wrong? If we start with, I'm on the throne, I've got to have it my way, the highway, I'm always right, give me what's coming to me, take care of me, please me, make me happy. Selfishness leads to sin, missing the mark, displeasing God, and sin leads to what? Starvation. We have some people in this audience, and you're starved. Now, you're not starved physically, most of us have plenty to eat, but maybe you're starved for a pat on the back. Maybe you're starved for a compliment, way to go, good job. Maybe you're starved. We have some ladies in this audience and you're starved for a non-sexual hug. Just a hug, a touch. Maybe you're starved for a better relationship with heaven. Maybe you feel empty inside. You're starved spiritually. Do you feel your emptiness? Oh, we want you to come home. We don't want you to stay in that pig pen. We want you to come home. So let's bring the kid home. Go down to verse 16. He's hungry, and nobody gives to him. But he doesn't stay there. Notice verse 17. He came to himself. He wakes up. He says, man, there's got to be a better life. Pig pens stink. I want to go home. So he says, how many hired slaves of my father's have enough bread and even to share, to spare? And I'm dying with hunger. And here he is in that pig pen, smelling like who knows what. The pigs are there rooting, rolling, and wallowing, and feeding, whatever else pigs do. And the boy begins to think about home. And all of a sudden it occurs to him, you know, my daddy was good to, well, he was good to his sons, but he was even good to the servants. Slaves. He was good to the box boys, the bus boys, the peons. And he thinks about, in that far country, the goodness of his daddy. I have some good news for you. If you're a Christian, if you're a baptized believer, you have a good father. You have a good father. You say, Keith, my father abused me when I was a kid. I'm not talking about your father. You say, a good father? My father ran off with another woman, left mama to struggle with his kids. I'm not talking about your father. I'm talking about your father. You have a good father. And may I tell you how good your father is? When this simple thought occurred to me many, many years ago, it literally changed my life. It's a very simple thought, but I'm telling you, it changed my life. I went from a burdened Christian to a blessed Christian. I went from a guilt-ridden child of God to an at-peace child of God. Let me tell you, it's a very simple thought, but I'm telling you, it literally changed my life. And the thought that changed my life is this. My Father, our Father, is so good that He wants us to be saved even more than we want ourselves to be saved. Simple thought. So true. Let me just say it like this. My Father is so good. He wants me to go to heaven even more than I want myself to go to heaven. Wow. You want to go to heaven? Again, you just missed a wonderful time to say amen. So I'll give you another shot, okay? You want to go to heaven? Amen.
Amen.
You say, Keith, go to heaven? Do I want to go to heaven? More than life? Sure, I want to go to heaven. See, that's a great desire. But my brother, no matter how strong your desire is to go to heaven, no matter how fired up you become, you can read and study your Bible every day. You can attend every church service there is to attend. You can get out here and knock on doors and set up Bible studies and talk to neighbors and friends about heaven. You can get down on your knees and pray 17 times a day. But no matter how fired up you become, no matter how strong your desire is to go to heaven, there's a God in heaven who loves you, and He wants you to be saved even more than you want yourself to be saved. And that's the goodness of God, and that's gospel good news preaching. the goodness of God. God says, hey, I love you. I'm crazy about you. If you don't believe it, look at the cross. That's how much I love you. Let me ask the daddies of this audience. Daddies, you want your own kids to go to heaven? I have three kids. I have Pete, my special kid. I have two daughters. And you think, as a father, want my own children? I have four grandchildren. You think I want my three kids and my four grandbabies to go to heaven? More than anything in the world. I want them to be saved. And if I want that for my kids, don't you know the Heavenly Father wants that for His kids? Folks, God is not against you. He's not against you. He's for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Romans 8 and verse 31. Here he is in that far country, and he thinks about, wow, my daddy, he was good to the slaves, but wow, I've got to see him. So he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. Verse 18, I will arise and I'll go to my daddy and I'll say to him, Daddy, three hardest words. Hardest word in my judgment of human language is the word no. It's hard for me to say no. Is it hard for you to say? It's hard for me to say no. Somebody calls on the phone and says, hey, Keith, would you come and preach for us? Sure, when? I'll be there. When do you want me? It's hard for me to say no to speaking appointments. It's hard for me to say no to the special piece of pie.
Cookies.
It's hard for me to say no to cookies or to pie, especially if it's chocolate or a pecan or a coconut. I love pie, okay? Isn't it hard to say no to that second piece of pie? Hardest word in the human language is the word no. You know what the two hardest words are? I'm sorry. Hey, brother, I'm sorry. Sister, I'm sorry. See, when I say I'm sorry, I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing fingers right here at this guy. Hardest word, no. Two hardest words, I'm sorry. You know what the three hardest words are in my judgment? They're found right here in Luke 15. He says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and I'm going to say, Daddy, three hardest words. I have sinned. If you don't believe they're hard, let me ask you, when was the last time you said that to anybody? When was the last time you came home, came forward in church? I ask you this morning. When was the last time you came forward in church and said, I have sinned? Let me just plant this seed. Wouldn't it be great if on maybe Thursday or Friday of this week, we could look back and say, you know, God blessed us. God blessed us at Florence Boulevard. There were public responses at every single service. People were saved. People came to be prayed for. Wouldn't it be great if we could say maybe on Thursday, Friday this week, man, God blessed us every revival service. Something great happened. Who's going to lead the way tonight? Who's going to be humble enough and big enough and spiritual enough to come home and to say, pray for me. I have sinned. He says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and I'm going to say, Daddy, I've sinned. So he does it. He gets up and he goes home. Verse 20. I love verse 20. It may be my favorite verse. Our brother read it a few minutes ago. It may be my favorite verse in all the Bible. He arose and he came to his father. You know how we say it? He went forward. Sometimes I'll go away to preach and if Sandra, my wife, is not present, you know, I get home and I say, boy, we had a good meeting. Well, how many responses were there? How many came forward? The kid goes forward. He walks down a church aisle. He arose and he came to his daddy. And I love this part. Don't miss it. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I wonder how long had the old daddy been looking. The father saw him. And I love this part. He had compassion. He wasn't mean. He wasn't rude. He wasn't saying, well, it's about time you came home. Your older brother's been out working you. We've had things to do and you've been gone. He didn't fuss at him. The text says he had compassion. And I love this. And ran. The father ran. When was the last time you saw your father run? The father ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And ladies and gentlemen, that tells me something about God. You know what that tells me about God? Let me tell you what that tells me about God. If you step out of one of these aisles tonight and you come forward and you say, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I know what Peter preached in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And I know what Jesus taught in John chapter 3. You've got to be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. And if you come tonight saying, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be born again. I want to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. If you come tonight saying, I need to become a Christian, let me tell you, God will not walk. He won't walk to meet you. He'll run. And if you step out of one of these aisles tonight and you come forward and you say, you know, I am a Christian. I'm a baptized believer. But I just want to live better and I want to do better and I want to renew my faith. I want to be prayed for. If you come tonight saying, pray for me. I need to be prayed for. Let me tell you, God will not walk. He won't walk to meet you. He won't walk. He'll run. Will God run? Will the God of heaven run? Well, that's what Luke 15 is all about. He's full of compassion and mercy and grace and love. Our God, our Father in heaven will run. It's really not the story of the sorry son. It's the story of the fantastic Father. You've listened well. And we're about ready to sing the invitation song. What's going to happen tonight? Will anybody be saved? Will anybody come saying, I have sinned, pray for me? What's going to happen tonight? I wish that I knew. If I knew that nobody would respond, we wouldn't even sing. What's the purpose of an invitation song? We wouldn't sing an invitation song. But we have a lot of hope and encouragement that we have some humble folks saying, I'm ready, pray for me. I need to be baptized. So what's going to happen? Let me tell you about my boy, old Pete. 35 years old. 35 years old. And I wonder what somebody handicapped would do. Pete was born with what the doctors called a brain problem. They looked at him and said, you know, if... He doesn't have it cut off, the brain, part of the brain, he's going to die. But if we cut it off, it's really non-functional. He's going to die anyway. So we just accepted that. We thought the first few months of his life, there's nothing we can do. He's going to die. But he did not die. When he was about 6 weeks old, we got on the phone, we called some other doctors. And that encephalocele, that sac outside of his head, was surgically removed. Today, physically, he's as healthy as anybody in this room. He very seldom gets sick. Mentally, he has problems. Some people say he's retarded. Some people say he's special. Some people say he's handicapped. 35 years old and never taken a step by himself in his life. Brain damage is bad. Don't like brain damage. But let me tell you something that's worse than brain damage. It's soul damage. S-O-U-L, soul damage. And I'm not God and I'm not the judge, but I know people. I have a feeling that I stand before some people tonight. And you're not brain damaged, but you are soul damaged. Maybe you're a Christian. You've been living in that far country. Maybe you're not a Christian. You need to become a child of God tonight. So will God run? Will the God of heaven run? You take the first step out into one of these aisles, down to the front, and God will not walk to meet you. He won't walk. He'll run. Who's going to lead the way tonight? We will find out. Let's stand and sing.